Turn to Mark 4. We've been in Mark 4 and went another pass and got another one. Hallelujah. It's been such a good ride. I don't think I've enjoyed it as much as I have these last 2 or 3 years that we've been on this journey into the right hand of God. How could you forget that? A whole year. I remember it was at the end of last year. And I thought we were going to stay in the right hand of God forever. I actually thought we were going to preach it all over the world. Holy Spirit began to say, now we're going to come down the other side. And I said, what do you mean? We're going to come down the other side. He says, I'll show you. And he started that around November of last year. And he began to show us how the Holy Spirit was sent into the right hand of God. Jesus being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, having received of the promise of the Holy Spirit. And see, in John, it said the Father sent him. And Jesus also said, I will send him, because they actually both sent him. The Father sent him into the right hand of God, and Jesus sent him from the right hand of God into the earth. And there was a reason why he had to come into the right hand of God, because Jesus was the appointed heir of the Father. And he had received the fullness of the Father's blessing, all power in heaven and earth he had received. And so he sent the Holy Spirit. Speaking of the Holy Spirit, said, he will receive of mine and show it unto you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said unto you, he'll receive of it. And he did that when he went into the right hand of God. That's in Acts 2:33. So the Holy Spirit received it. And then Jesus sent him into the church bearing the fullness of that inheritance. Now, that's important because the Bible says the righteousness of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into the heavens, or who shall descend into the deep to bring him up. But what saith the word is very nigh thee. It's in your heart. It's in your mouth. And we had to realize that our faith had to come to the place that it's not out here anymore. It's really not up there anymore, because the Holy Spirit brought it all down. He brought it to reside into the depths of the heart. Now, I just gave you like the whole year's worth right there, but we've marked all that out, and you can't miss that part, because if you miss that part when you're believing God, whether you're believing for well transference, revival, you're believing him to heal your body or to save your son, the process is the same. We have to understand how the mysteries of the kingdom work. And they work by the Holy Spirit has brought down the promise. See, when he came, he brought that inheritance, but he releases that inheritance first in us and then through us. So everything operates in this veil right here, the veil of the heart. He brought everything into this veil. Everyone say hallelujah. If you get there, you can get to the rest of the way. And so the Lord had me do something real interesting. He said, I want you to call some of your friends that have been in the ministry a long time. And I want you to just ask them the same question. And so I called three of them, and I got the same answer from all three. It's pretty amazing. One of them been in the ministry about 50 years. I highly admire this person. I asked them, I said, what do you believe in God for? And this particular person said, well, there's two major things. And I already knew what he's believing God for. He said, well, transference and revival. You know, we want to see an outpouring. I said, yeah, I do too. So I asked him a question. I said, where is that? Now, I had just come into this revelation that everything had to come into the heart. Everything is centered there. And this is the same answer I got all three times. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. Now, that's where I was just 2 days before I made those phone calls. And so I wasn't judging him. I just wanted to see the difference in the mindset of faith. Because as long as it's still coming, how many of you know it has not arrived? And if it doesn't arrive here, it can't come out here. Out of your innermost being will flow the rivers. But the Holy Ghost, he brings it into the veil of the heart, and he releases the promise into the candlestick of the heart. That's why it's very important that you and I move in the dimension of the veil of the heart. This is where you eat from the tree of life. This, in your head, is where you eat from the tree of knowledge and good and evil. So in that, the Lord brought us into Mark 4. Now, he opened something brand new again about Mark 4. And I'll just rehearse just for a minute. Mark 4, you really understand it. You've got to go to Mark 4, Matthew 13, and Luke 8, because all three of them are painting a full picture of what he's saying. Matthew 13, if you'll go there, I'm just going to review a couple more minutes, then I'm going to jump in. We're going to jump in. Hallelujah. Oh, I got to tell you, it's so awesome operating out of the veil of the heart. It doesn't matter what the enemy's doing out here. I used to try to exercise all my faith right out here. Man, that is the devil's playground out here. You have to be the absolute most disciplined person in the whole world to keep an atmosphere out here. Because your mind has such a capacity, not only from the tree, but a tree of knowledge of good and evil. It's so subject to everything. That's not where you exercise faith. You exercise it within the veil. That's why he said, when you pray, not if, enter into thy closet. The closet's the inner chamber of the house, the temple, the heart, the veil. When you pray, shut the door. There's a way to move into the veil of the heart. We'll practice that a little bit tonight. How many of you have been practicing that? Is it getting easier and easier and easier? How do you get into the veil? Acknowledging communication of your faith becomes effectual or affected by the acknowledging of every good thing that's in me. Two things we're acknowledging. The Holy Ghost, because we know he's come to abide in us, and the word that he brought, that inheritance that he brought with him, because that inheritance is locked up in that seed. And it sits upon the candlestick of the heart. The way you get in touch is you acknowledge, I can't acknowledge Russ if I got my back to him. Hey, Russ, how you doing? That's not how you acknowledge. You acknowledge by focus in your words. See, I focus in my words. Dude, let's just do it a second here. Everyone just close your eyes for a minute. Because it don't take long to tap in. Put your hand on your heart. Not this heart up here. The heart, your spiritual heart's down here. Why do I do that? Because it helps me focus. I'm trying to move into that dimension to acknowledge every good thing that's in me in Christ. So, Holy Spirit, I thank you. You were sent to abide in me forever. You live with us. You're in us. You're our comforter. You're our teacher. You're our helper. You were sent down from the right hand of God, bearing the fullness of his inheritance. We welcome you. We acknowledge you. We acknowledge the word that you brought. We acknowledge the inheritance that's seated and programmed into that word, into that promise, into that living word that you set upon the lampstand of our heart. We, the meditation of our heart, as a man thinketh in his heart. Now see, if you do that, we don't have time to get any further into that. Come on back out. But the thing about it is you move into the veil. That's why he says, let the meditation of my heart. You don't meditate from here and you don't exercise faith from here. You move in there. But it takes practice to open that door. And so as you learn to open that door, you move into that dimension. Amen. Now let's begin here. Matthew 13, 23. He that receives seed in the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it. If you'll look up at verse 19, notice what he says. When any man heareth the word of the kingdom. That's huge, because that's what the Holy Ghost has brought down with him, the word of the kingdom. He says, any man heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth the word of the kingdom. Now, it says right there in 19 that the enemy, he said, if it understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away the word which was sown where? Where's the Holy Ghost? The enemy doesn't come to catch away the word that's sown in your head. What you had 20 years ago, you still have now. He does not steal that word. He's not after that. You notice how your knowledge perpetually continues on? That's not what he's after. He's after the veil. He's after the word in the heart. The word in the head will never produce the substance of the kingdom. It's the word in the heart. He transforms your mind to get in line. Transforms your mind to get in line. And so he gets that, but it's the heart that receives. It's the heart where the Holy Ghost lives. It's the heart where you are a minister of the sanctuary of the heart. That's where he brings it. That's where the enemy comes. He will leave the word in your head alone. He'll never steal it out. The knowledge you possessed 25 years ago of God, you still possess now. But he will wage a war against the word in your heart. That's why you got to meditate from the heart. You have to release the faith in that word from the heart. If you don't, the image won't grow within. If it doesn't grow within, the enemy is going to snatch it. All right. Now, Mark says this. Go ahead and go to Mark. So here Matthew says, he heareth the word. This is the good ground. And he understandeth the word of the kingdom. That's not just understanding revelation. That's understanding how the word of the kingdom functions, operates, and births through a believer. If you don't understand the process, you'll keep looking out here for your answer. It's still going to be coming. Next year, it'll still be coming. The year after that, it's coming. The year after that, it's still coming. How many of you have been walking with God a long time and it's still coming? It's got to arrive into the heart. Mark 4. Now he says this. Mark 4:20 says, these are they which sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it. So Matthew says, hear the word and understandeth the word of the kingdom. Mark says, hears the word of the kingdom and receives the word of the kingdom. When you pray, believe that you receive and you shall have. Now this is important because I'm going somewhere. Where do you receive? In the veil of the heart. The shall have is manifestation. If you bypass that, you're going to bypass God's operation. And all you can really hope for is God to come with a miracle. That's why we don't see very much answered prayer. Luke 8:15, he puts the final phase on it. Don't go there because I got to keep you in Mark. He says, but they that are on the good ground are they which an honest and good heart, having heard the word and keep it. Four phases. Hear the word of the kingdom. Understand the word of the kingdom, really, how it comes down from the right hand of God by the Holy Ghost. It's planted in the veil of the heart. It's received in the veil. It's kept in the veil, and it releases from the veil of the heart. That's the understanding. I hear the word of the kingdom. I understand the word of the kingdom. I receive the word of the kingdom. I keep the word of the kingdom. If you don't become skilled at keeping the word of the kingdom, it will be stolen. The enemy is that good. What he's really good at is stealing the word from your heart by waging a war against the atmosphere of your life. If you're not skilled, he'll come in, bypass it, counterfeit it, whatever he can do, but he's after it. You're going to have to become wiser. And the only way you're really going to keep it and have it expand and grow is feed it. The way you feed it is through meditation. That's how you keep it. But not meditation here, not memorization, moving into the veil. All right, those four. Hear it, understand it, receive it, keep it, and then it releases. Amen? We're after the fruit. All right, you ready? All right, so you know he's talking about this. We'll just review here. Verse 14, the sower soweth the word. And these are they by the wayside when the word is sown. When they've heard, straightway cometh Satan and taketh away the word which was sown in their heart. You must learn to keep, guard, watch over, function from the heart. You've got to get in that arena. If you don't, the enemy will take advantage of you big time. Amen. Now, here's where I want to begin tonight. Verse 24. The title of my message is To Him That Hath. I've been listening to this word for a long time. I've been reading over this and I didn't, never understood it till today. To him that hath. Everyone say, to him that hath. Look at verse 24. He said to them, he saw all talking about the word of God sown in the heart, the good ground, the enemy trying to come and snatch it. He's culminating the message. Now notice what he says in verse 25. For he that hath, to him shall be given. And he that hath not, from him shall be taken away even that which he hath. Pretty amazing how much Jesus can pack into one verse. It only take, 24 years of revelation to finally be able to extract what's in that verse. But glory to God. Now look at this. For he that had, to him shall be given. You got to understand what he's talking about, to him that has. But him that hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that which he has. I want to read you for a minute. Matthew's version of this. You're taking notes, it'll be Matthew 13, verse 12. Because he adds something to it. Well, you better go over there and look at it. Keep your finger there in verse 25 of Mark 4, and then go to Matthew 13, 12. And then you got to have to go to Luke 8, too. So the three verses we want to look at is Mark 4, 25, Matthew 13, 12, and Luke 8, 18. We're in Bible school right now. We're in the school of the Holy Ghost birthing center. We want to learn how to birth from the kingdom. I am tired of not getting the results and blaming it on the sovereignty of God. One day he'll move. Well, if he's going to move one day and we don't have anything to do with it, then why are we even pray? Let's just wait for him to come. We don't do anything. He's just going to do it. Amen. But that's not how it works. The whole chapter, he says, to you it's been given to know and understand the mystery of the kingdom. I put it right here. Look. It's right there. It took all three of them to put it together. Now, notice what Matthew says. Verse 12. For whosoever hath, same chapter, same parable, to him shall be given. Now, notice what he says. And he shall have more abundance. But him that hath not, from him. So if I don't have anything, it says to him that doesn't have anything, the enemy's going to come and take away even that which you do have. But if I don't have anything, how is he going to come and take away from me that I don't have anything? I don't have anything, but you're coming to take away even what I have. I don't have anything. So how can you come take away what I don't have? But I like this part right here. For whosoever hath, man, if I can ever find out what's in the hath, I want to get the hath. Because if I can have, I can have. If I can H-A-T-H, I can H-A-V-E. If I don't H-A-T-H, I don't H-A-V-E. And then what I do H-A-V-E, even whatever is left, he takes that away. You got to understand what's in that verse. He's giving you a massive mystery right there. He's also telling you why the enemy can freely come and rend your life and take away. If you don't have, he has the authority to come take away what you do have. Sure, if I could find out what I need to have. Because to him that hath, if I can find out what to have. All right. So look here, verse 12. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given. So if I have this, whatever he's telling me to have, it's opening the doorway for the Father to give. And he says, and he adds the word of abundance. He says, and he shall have more abundance. If I have, I'm going to be given. And I'll have more abundance. If I don't have, he's going to take away what I do have. Now, Luke adds one more. And put that, and then I'll give you the revelation. Since I'm building it. Luke 8:18. If you've got an amplified Bible, they missed it. I'll show you in a minute. Luke 8:18. Take heed, therefore, how you hear. For whosoever hath, here he goes again, to him shall be given. That's where I want to be. That's where you want to be. Whosoever hath not, you're either going to be a have or have not. You either a have or a have not. H-A-T-H, hath, or H-A-T-H, hath not. This huge. I've been in the have not category for a long time. I don't like that category very much because it seems the have not categories, he come and taketh away even what you do have, even when you have not. So he says, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given. Whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have. If you are in the have not category, you are in trouble. Because he has authority to take what you even seemeth to have. That might be what you even want to have. It's already stolen before you get it. He's stealing from me before I even get it. Everyone say, I don't want to be in that category. All right. I don't either. Go back to Matthew 13, verse 12. Who's got an amplified Bible in here? Raise your hand. I'll share with the amplified Bible and why it absolutely is not portraying the revelation here. Matthew 13, verse 12. Says, whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. So if I hath, not only am I going to be given, but I'm going to have more abundance. If I can secure the place of being a hath instead of have not, then it's going to release the kingdom to freely flow. Not only to freely flow, it'll flow in abundance. Now, here's what the Amplified says. Matthew 13, 12 says, for whosoever hath spiritual knowledge, to him will be given. The problem is that the enemy doesn't come and take away spiritual knowledge. There's not any time in your life he's ever stolen your spiritual knowledge from you. What you possessed 20 years ago, you possess now. He's not after your spiritual knowledge. But he is after that living word that's set on the candles. The sower sowed the word. The enemy, the thief, the devil cometh immediately to steal it from the heart. If you've not heard the word of the kingdom, if you've not understood the word of the kingdom, if you've not fully received it, if you've not kept it, then he has taken it. And that brings you into the category of have not. Because you don't have that living word abiding here. Because either we didn't develop the skill to do it or the enemy was ruthless. One of the reasons, if he steals from here, then he has the authority to come and rend even what you do have. But him that have that living word remaining in the veil of the heart, that's the key to the kingdom. We must learn to receive it and keep it. Because him that hath, to him shall be given. Because it is the living word set on the candlestick of your heart that is the catalyst for which the kingdom releases into the earth. But if that living word is taken from you, stolen from you. The enemy will come and steal even what you seemeth to have, even what you do have, because that's giving him an authority to take it. That's why we have to learn how to be priests of the inner man of the heart. And we must, as Proverbs says, guard the heart with all diligence. Do you know what you were guarding when you were guarding with all diligence? The three verses before that. Keep thy word in the midst of your heart. Bind it on the frontlets of your eyes. Write it for a sign upon your hands. Keep thy heart that has that living word with all, everyone say all, diligence. If you don't, he'll take it from you. Because that's what he's good. A thief will come and take it from you when you don't know he's taking it from you. Because many times when he's taken that operation, he's come and replaced it with something else. Good old human sufficiency. And so when that living word's gone, when it's been snatched, we're in the have-not category. And guess what? When we have not, the enemy's free to come to rend. I'm going to show you that. Go to Matthew 12. That word hath, by the way, listen to what it means in the Greek. It means to hold, to possess. It means echo. It's the Greek word echo. It means to hold, to possess, and you can put parentheses in the heart. Fares to hold fast. To keep. He that holds the living word in the heart. You've got to see it as a treasure. It took me a year to go up the right hand of God to find out what kind of treasure the Holy Ghost was bringing down with him. When he brought a living word, he brought a treasure from the kingdom. That's the way he releases that kingdom. He brings it in the form of that seed. He packs the inheritance of that kingdom in that living word. The reason why we haven't really experienced it, because we were trying to operate here with it. Until you move into the heart, until the Holy Ghost taught me how to move in the heart, and I started connecting with the living word in the heart. When the Lord gave me the revelation of Mount Hebron, I thought it was just a great revelation. I couldn't wait to write a book on it. But the idea behind it wasn't God didn't want me to write a book on it. He wanted me to birth. I'm like, well, I don't know how to birth it. I just know how to receive the revelation. He says, yeah, we're going to get into the birth part. But ever since I received that revelation, all hell's broken loose. Just like any of you that receive the revelation, the enemy will come relentlessly after it. You can't just stop and quit. Because he doesn't stop. How many of you ever just tried to stop and quit and he just keeps running over you? I found out I had to learn how this worked. And I had to realize I couldn't just receive a revelation. I had to get connected with that living mountain in the heart, in the veil. When I started moving into the veil, is acknowledging of every good thing that's in you in Christ, when I was acknowledging the Holy Ghost and then acknowledging the word he brought, I knew that Jesus inherited that mountain. Inherently, I knew it, but I found the scripture. And Isaiah said, I will bring a seed out of Jacob, out of Judah, an inheritor of my mountains. Jesus inherited the two great mountains of the land of Judah. One was Mount Hebron, which King David was crowned in. The other one was Zion, which King David came in and fulfilled the king-priest government in. Oh, hallelujah! Jesus, the final king-priest, received that into the right hand of God. He inherited the inheritance of those mountains. They are very living. That's why he said, I supply your need out of riches in glory. How do riches in glory get down here? Well, it's coming. It's got to arrive. That's why it says, when you pray, believe that you receive. That's the first thing. You're going to have to get the deposit. You're going to have to get impregnated with a living word. My living word might not be your living word, but you might need my living word. You got to hold that. And you got to keep it, and you got to connect. But once you start connecting with the living word in the veil of the heart, something marvelous is going to happen. It's going to release. Its life's going to release. Its image is going to release. Its power is going to release within. It's going to start filling you up. I'm telling you, It doesn't matter what the enemy's throwing at you out here. You can go get real quiet and just move into the inner sanctuary when you pray. Enter into thy closet, thy inner chamber of the heart. Shut the door. I'm telling you, you can get in there and it's a whole nother world. It doesn't matter what the enemy's doing out here. You can go in there and it's glorious. That's where the Holy Ghost is. That's where he releases the life that's in that word. What happens is he fills the interior room up with faith. He fills it up with life. He fills it up with glory. He fills it up with the image that's in that word. Why? Because that's eventually going to break out of the ground. It's going to break out of the heart. Out of the uttermost being will flow the river. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issue or the wellspring. Now, if you don't do anything but just hear, that living word will be taken from your heart without you even knowing it. Because it requires that you focus. You don't have to pray 4 or 5 hours a day. I used to do that. You don't do that anymore. But you do got to get connected with that living word. And you got to keep it. And you got to meditate upon it in the heart. And you got to hold it there. For him that hath. See, he says, to you it's been given to know the mystery of the kingdom. But if you don't see it, he says, you have the eyes to see and the ears to hear. If you don't have the ears to hear and the eyes to see, you'll forget about it. Why? Because it's not important. It's not on the agenda. You know, when you wake up, you've got an agenda. You got what's important, what's not. If you want to be a have, you're going to have to make this important. Because the enemy will see to it that you'll be a have not. And when you have not his word, if my words abide in you, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you can ask what you will and it'll be done for you. That's what he said. To him that hath, it shall be given. And it'll be given more abundantly. Because the word in the heart is the catalyst by which that kingdom releases into the earth. Booyah. Everyone say booyah. But you got to move into that dimension. Having the word in your head will not create a birth from heaven. It'll make you have knowledge. And it's good to have spiritual knowledge. It definitely gives you some alignment with the way God is. But that won't create the birth. That's why you can have them guys, you can go in there, they've got books everywhere. They know more about Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Hebrew, interlinear, outerlinear, whoosh, weak, strong. I mean, they got it. But the knowledge won't ever produce the birth. Then you take somebody that may not know very little, but they know how to birth. Well, they know how to birth. You don't have to be perfect to birth. You just have to understand how it works. You got to understand the kingdom. See, you're trying to generate an atmosphere of faith out here. That's futile. That's high discipline to do that. And not very many people are going to last like that. That's hard to do. The faith comes by that living word. If you get in touch with it, it'll release its faith inside you. It'll release its life. It'll release its glory. What's the purpose? It's what's releasing inside of you that's soon going to release through you. If it's not releasing within, it won't release without. And if it's not doing anything, the enemy will come and take it from you. And then he'll put you in the have-not column. And then you'll wish that God will do something. You'll wonder if God's ever going to do something. It's coming one day. You'll join the one-day crowd. One day, God's going to do this. To be a one-day man anymore. How about you? I'm tired of being one day because I wake up and it's another day. And I wake up tomorrow, it's one day. At least I know I got it. And devil, you can't have it. Boy, is he come. Man, is he come. But I've got his number. See, I know. I know what he's after. If I can keep it, it will produce the harvest. Amen. If it's stolen, what does the Holy Spirit have to work with? Listen, my friends, God doesn't start up here and go this way, out there. He doesn't do that. He goes through. Now, God will come and do a miracle for you out here. But to get God to do that over and over and over again, that won't happen. If you want a continual harvest, you're going to have to work with his operation, the Holy Ghost bringing the word into the interior realm of the heart. Amen? Amen! All right, go to Matthew 12. Echo. To hold. To possess. Hath. I hold his word. I hath his word. I possess it. I keep it. I hold it fast. I hear it. I understand it. I receive it. I keep it. I hear it. I understand it. I receive it. I keep it. I have a living promise set on the candlestick of my heart. I won't let it go until it produces harvest. Amen. Matthew 12. Now, what he say to him that hath not, from him shall be taken away even that which he hath. Here's the problem when you hath not. When you don't have it, guess what? He has authority. Not only has he snatched the word, he'll come and start rending your life. That's why you get these unwarranted things and you don't know how to stop him. He might have already stolen something in your heart. You got to get that back first. Otherwise, you're going to be fighting him out here. You're going to be fixing and repairing things the rest of your life. If I keep repairing out here, I'm never going to come into the problem. Amen? Now watch this in Matthew 12, verse 43. And when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest and findeth none. He then saith, I'll return into my house from whence I came out. Here's the thing about deliverance. So this dude, he was plucked out by the Holy Ghost, drove him out, thrust out. He's walking around. He's trying to find a home. He wants to come back to the house. Now watch what gives him authority to come back into the house. He says, I'll return to my house from whence I came out. And when he's come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. Wow. I want to be swept and garnished, don't you? I want to be swept. He findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. Now watch what happens. Then goeth he, taketh with himself seven other more wicked than himself. Ouch. And they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Now, go back to verse 44. Watch this. He said, I will return to my house from whence I came out. When he's come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. See, when God comes in, you're born again, you're swept up and garnished. But the problem of that man right there is he was in the hath-not category. He was empty. The word was already stolen. When he come back for inspection, he saw that he was in the hath-not. And him that hath not, he will come take what you even seem to have. And he comes and rends your life. Because he sees that there's nothing there to stop him. The whole mystery of the kingdom of God is those that either hath or they have not. Those that hath not will struggle a good part of their life. You can go to church all your life and have not his living word abiding there. I'm not talking about heaven here. But then you have that living word, those who have seen the treasure of it, those that have understood it, that have eyes to see, ears to hear, that are tired of struggling, tired of doing it man's way, and tired of getting empty results. He's going to fix the empty place. Everyone say, my house is not going to be empty. I will be a hath. I will have. And if I have, it will be given to me. What's going to be given? The kingdom in abundance will be ushered through your life. If you have not, there might be a lot of struggle there. Because the enemy has the authority. He sees he has authority to come and take what you have. Because he doesn't see that living word. He's already stole it. When does he come? Immediately. Where is he trying to steal it from? The veil of the heart. He's not coming after your knowledge. If he's not coming after your knowledge, then we better get really skilled at operating from this place. That means you got to get in touch. You know how much time you operate from here? All day long. This head is constantly connected to the world. Constantly connected. It's constantly moving in and out of the tree of knowledge. It's constantly connected all the way. But here is what's got to connect with the kingdom. And it's here that has to hold that living word. I promise you, once you start entering in that place, it gets very full up in there. It's another realm. Because it's the kingdom of God is within you. You can live. You can enter into the inner chamber. You can hold that living word. Now, the world's a tough place to live out there. That's why you have to have a retreat. You have to have a place that you retreat. If you don't have to retreat into the chamber of the heart, you'll get blockaded. Not go in my prayer closet. I'll sit and I'll just see if the revelation's flowing. I'll sit in my chair and I'll wait. If it starts flowing, I go with it until it stops. If it's not flowing, then I get my other chair. I got two different chairs. I got one that I receive the revelation. The other one's where I lay back. I had it designed where I can lay way back. And I get super quiet. I'm just going to do this for 5 minutes. I want you to close your eyes for a minute. Now, the key to this is you can't be in your head. Don't be up here solving tomorrow's problem or yesterday. You're going to have to move from here to here. How do you do that? Acknowledgement. Focus with your attention and your words. You've got to have your mouth running. Amen. But let me, for this one, run my mouth. But at home, don't sit there and go like this. No, your words cause the connection. I speak into the veil of the heart, but I'm focusing. And what I do is I go like this. I had a really powerful prophet friend of mine. He goes, you know that I can tell you what color shirt my daughter has on right now? And he goes, and you could call her on the phone and she confirm it. And he lived in New Zealand. It's Ian. I'm a powerful man of God. I said, how do you do that? He said, I hold him in the veil of my heart until I see him. You'd be amazed. I'll tell you, what cannot hold in the veil of your heart is somebody you have an offense towards. You can't hold them there in love. Impossible. That was part of the training, is deal with the trespasses and offenses. So I like to just, I'm moving here. I acknowledge every good thing that's in me. I've got to acknowledge with my focus and my words. So I'm acknowledging the Holy Ghost. I did that. Now, but I'm just going to acknowledge him. And when I do this, I want you to move inside. Don't let your head, that's why it takes a little practice, because your head will want to move you out. You're not going to get it that way. You're going to have to move in. So, Lord, we just magnify you tonight. We thank you. According to Psalms 2, I set my king upon the holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Father saith unto the Son, thou art my son, thou art my heir. This day I have begotten thee. Ask of me, Son, the nations. Ask of me the uttermost parts of the earth. Jesus, you inherited all things. When you ascended into the right hand of God and you sent him down by way of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, you abide. You've come to live right here in the veil. You've brought his word, the word of the kingdom, to set upon the lampstand of my heart. You're an inheritor of the mountain. You inherited this mountain, Mount Hebron, this mountain of Abraham, this mountain of Isaac, this mountain of Jacob, the history of generational inheritance that's been sown into this mountain. They were all buried in this mountain, all the faith, all their legacy, all the promises buried in this mountain.
The 12 came in the promised land. You led them directly to the fruit that you had sown. They brought that fruit out with staffs. The prized possession of the promised land. They brought it and showed it to Moses. No doubt he ate of it right there in front of him. Ate of the fruit of this mountain. Caleb saw it and never lost it. Kept it for 45 years, a champion of faith. Kept it right here in the veil of his heart. He never lost sight of it, and he received it. David. Oh, what a king. Came out from under the covering of Achish and Ziklag. You crowned him. Right here in this mountain. Crowned as a king. You brought the tribes to him. You multiplied him there. 70,000 alone from the sons of Zebulun that would not break rank, that were not of a double heart, came to him in this mountain. 200 from the sons of Issachar, the prophets, the seers that had understanding of the times. 1,000 captains, the sons of Naphtali. 348,000 men you added and multiplied to him and when you crowned him. All of these men, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Caleb, David, and you, Jesus, the seed of Jacob, out of Judah, an inheritor of the mountain. You've given to us as a gift. This word, this mountain, this gift will not return to you void. It will accomplish that for which you sent it. It will prosper. And the thing for which it was sent, it will not. It's not in heaven anymore. We have to go up and get it. It's not in the history. You brought it right here into the veil to keep, to see, to keep, to hold, to possess, to not let it go until it bursts in the earth. So it bursts for this last day generation. When the nations and the financial foundations of nations will shake, this mountain will not be shaken. This mountain will not be moved. It cometh down from above, the Father of lights, whom there's no variableness, neither shadow of turning. This mountain liveth. We keep it to the day of its birth. Your mighty name. Amen. Let's give him glory. Hallelujah. Now, whatever you move into that realm, that image will explode in there. If you will hold it and keep it. Amen. If you hold his living word in you, you keep his living word in you, you receive. So that's why you got to receive. It says, when you pray, believe that you receive and then you'll have. It's got to come in here first. Everyone say, I'm a priest of the veil of my heart. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's give him glory. Praise God.